We're going to talk this morning about why has this happened. If you were reading along in Judges chapter 6, you may have noticed Gideon asked this question of the Lord. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us?" I think this is a question that is still on a lot of people's mind today. Why is this happening? He couldn't see the evidence. As Gideon is being told that he needs to basically save Israel. "Lord, I don't know what you're talking about. Where are all these stories that we've heard growing up about how you did all of these mighty works? I'm not seeing them." He wasn't able to put his finger on the evidence. And I think we may ask the same thing from time to time, as Ardeth prayed about this morning. Why is this thing in Ukraine happening? If God is who He is, why is this happening? Why is there so much infighting amongst even Americans? Whether you're Democrat or Republican, whether you are for masks or against them, vaccines, whatever the case may be. Why is there all this infighting amongst us? Or maybe to you it's more personal. Maybe it's your personal finances. Maybe it's a sickness. Maybe there are family issues that you have going on that no one else even knows about. And we may ask the questions of God, why is all this happening to us? And those are the questions that I want to address today. But to many people, this type of suffering is proof that God doesn't exist. They will say either God is not all good, and so that's why He allows this suffering to take place, or He is not all powerful. He just simply can't stop it. And if God is not all good, or God is not all powerful, then God is not. And that's the conclusion that many people come to. There's all of these evil things going on, but if there was a God, He wouldn't allow things like this to go on. Today I want to address the question of why does God allow suffering? Now, tonight's lesson is going to be similar. It's going to be along the same vein as this. While it's not necessarily a two-part lesson, they certainly will go hand in hand. The first thing that I want us to address this morning is the problem of God and evil. When we think about the definition of evil, it can refer to many things. Really, basically, evil is anything that we might consider bad. Maybe it's something moral, right? Sin. We know that to be bad. Or maybe it's something more natural. Maybe it's, floods or hurricanes or whatever else is going on that we might consider bad because of the destruction that it causes. So why does God allow this in any form? Well, in Isaiah 55, starting in verse 7, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord, and He will have compassion on him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon." Notice what He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, or your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We're not going to always understand. Let's just keep that in the front of our mind as we go through this study. There are certainly going to be times when we don't understand why God does something. And we don't always have to understand why. Now, I will say that most of the time, God gives us a reason why. But there are going to be times where we just don't know. I think our parents are the same way. Most of the time, our parents will tell us why they want us to do something. They will explain it to us. But then there are other times where they said, "Because I said so." Right? And they just want you to do it because that's what mom and dad said to do. And they want us to be okay with that. And I think there are times that God wants that as well. Think about some examples of Bible greats who didn't really understand why. Gideon, in our verses this morning in Judges chapter 6 and verse 13, asks, why has this happened to us? Abraham, in Genesis chapter 17 and verse 17, Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, will a child be born to a man 100 years old, and will Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Abraham didn't understand. In fact, he laughed. This is not something that could come to pass. Elijah questioned God. In 1 Kings chapter 19, in verse 10, he said, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts. For the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. And I alone am left. And they seek my life to take it away. Now, later on, Elijah is told that there's 7,000 prophets still left in Israel that had not bowed the knee. But at this point in time in his life, he didn't understand. We could talk about men like David and Moses and Jonah, and the list goes on, of folks who did not understand exactly why God did something. But what I want us to understand this morning is that the problem is not the question. We can ask the question. We can always ask the question of God, as Mark was going through his study of Psalms. What did David do over and over and over? He questioned God much in the same way. Why are all these things happening to me? Why are all these things happening to us? And so the question is not the problem. The problem is actually the answer. And the reason I say the problem is the answer is because we don't typically like the answer to the question of why is God allowing all of these things to happen. So let's start at the very beginning, Genesis chapter 1. As God finished His creation, verse 31 says, and God saw all that He had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was an evening and there was a morning, the sixth day. Imagine God finishing His creation and just looking out over it, saying, you know what? This is very good. What I've created here is very good. Adam and Eve were in a perfect relationship with God. They had access to all of these beautiful things that He had given them. And then we go to chapter 3. Starting in verse 5, for God knows that in the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was desirable to make one wise, she took from its fruit and ate. She gave it also to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves loin coverings. Here's the answer to the question. Why have all these things happened? Well, when sin entered the world in Genesis chapter 3, it wasn't the only thing that entered into the world. In Genesis 3 and verse 16, as part of the punishment, God says to the woman, He said, I will greatly multiply your pain in childbirth. In pain you will bring forth children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. It's a consequence of the sin that came into the world. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Then to Adam he said, because you have listened to the voice of your wife, and you have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. In toil you will eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it will grow for you. And you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your face you will eat bread, till you return to the ground, because from it you were taken, for you are dust, and to dust you shall return. Do you know that thorns and thistles weren't part of the creation originally? Well, they're everywhere now, right? Is that God's fault? Certainly not. Man made a decision. And God said, because of the decision that you made, this is the result. This is what happens because of that. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death through sin, and so death spread to all men because all sinned. We don't like to admit that anything could be our fault, do we? But that's the answer to the question. Why does God allow these things? Well, it's not God's fault. It's our fault. And we don't like that answer, but that is the answer. What does suffering do for us? Think about that. You say, well, wait a minute. You're talking about suffering. What do you mean? What can it do for us? If we're suffering, then that's something that's completely against us, right? Well, not necessarily. Notice with me 1 John chapter 2. In 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 15, we're told, do not love the world, nor the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lust, but the one who does the will of God lives forever. Do you realize that suffering keeps us from loving this world too much? If we lived a perfect life here on this earth, would we ever want to leave? Would we ever desire to go and to be with God and to be with Jesus? I hope that we would. But the idea is, if it was too good, we may not want to do that. It would be too easy for us to love the world when God told us not to. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verses 15 and 16, for such is the will of God, that by doing right you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. Act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Our free will helps us to appreciate what God has done for us. He says, act as free men, and do not use your freedom as a covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. And the last thing, I think it makes us lean on God. In Philippians chapter 4, starting in verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The suffering that we do in this world causes us to lean on God and to lean on Him more. Again, if we didn't go through that suffering, would we lean on God the way that we should? Probably not. You see what suffering can do for us? Now, I'm not saying that we're all going to go out and say, well, I need to start suffering more. I'm not saying that we would ever do that. But keep into perspective what God does for us when we are suffering, when things like what's going on in our world today continue to go on. The last thing that I want us to notice this morning is, I don't want us to get distracted. In John 9 and verse 1, we're told there, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. This is interesting. I'll explain it a little bit more later, but notice verses 7 through 9. As he's talking to this, Jesus is talking to this blind man who was born blind. He said to him, go wash into the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went away and washed, and he came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously saw him as a beggar were saying, is this not the one who used to sit and beg? Others were saying, this is he. Still others were saying, no, but he is like him. And he kept saying, I'm the one. Yeah, it was me. I've been doing this every day. Coming and begging, it's me. Oh, it can't be. Why the disbelief here? Right? We have the expression, right? If it walks like a duck, if it talks like a duck, probably a duck. So this guy looks like himself. He probably sounds like himself. Why the disbelief that this could be this man? Well, in Jewish history, rabbis would teach that there were two miracles that could be done. First set of miracles could be done by any prophet. Those were things like heal the sick, cast out demons, cause the lame to walk, and cause the blind to see. But there was also a list of miracles that could only be performed by the Messiah. And on that list is heal a man born blind. Now, the thought process was anyone or any prophet could heal someone who had lost his eyesight, who had had it once and lost it. Any prophet could do that. But the Messiah would be the only one who would be able to heal a man who was born blind. Now, again, this is not necessarily biblically speaking. This is just what the rabbis taught. Heal a leper, cast out a demon from a mute, and heal one born blind. These were the ones that only the Messiah could do. Do you think these folks are distracted? Do you think they're distracted by what's going on around them? They are so distracted by the suffering that they can't see the Messiah. By their own definition, he healed a man that was born blind, but they refused to see it. The thought process was, who made him blind versus who can heal him? Right? So if he was born blind, they assume that God caused that. So only God, only the Messiah, would be able to heal it. And that's exactly what Jesus did, but they couldn't see it. How often do we allow ourselves to be distracted by the suffering? This man suffered for a long time, being born blind. And these folks understood that, and they saw the suffering that he went through, but they missed the miracle that Jesus had just performed. Why? I wonder how often we are so distracted by, woe is me. Everything that's going on in my life and all these things are going so poorly for me. But yet, God is working in our lives if we just look. Suffering is going to come. It's going to happen. In Luke chapter 21, starting in verse 10, then he continued by saying to them, nations will rise against nations, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes and in various places, plagues and famines, and there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. Are these things still going on today? Yes. But before all these things, they will lay their hands on you and will persecute you, delivering you to the synagogues and prisons, bringing you before kings and governors for my name's sake. It will lead to an opportunity for your testimony, so make up your minds not to prepare beforehand to defend yourselves. For I will give you utterance and wisdom, which none of your opponents will be able to resist or refute. But you will be betrayed even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all because of my name. Do you know this is the invitation to become a follower of Jesus, they're going to hate you. They're going to persecute you. They're going to do all kinds of nasty things to you. Come and be my disciple. But in 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 1, therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same purpose, because he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Christ suffered first. We will suffer because of our following him as well. It is going to happen. We will suffer. And we're going to talk more about that tonight. Even though suffering doesn't always make sense, we need to understand that God always has a plan for our suffering. His plans, as we mentioned earlier, are higher. They are better than ours. And we need to trust. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6, a favorite of many. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. We need to trust and obey God today. If you would, go ahead and open your psalm books to number 326. Do we trust God? The thought process is, if you trust Him, you will be obedient to Him. The way that we prove that we trust God is through our obedience. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, you can become one this very morning by being baptized into the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. If you're a child of God who has fallen away, maybe not been doing the things that God wants you to, maybe questioning God about why are these things happening, maybe faltering in your belief and in your trust, there's time and opportunity this very morning to make that right with your God as well. If you're here, whether you are not a child of God or a child of God who has fallen away, if you need the prayers of the saints here, if you need our assistance in becoming a child of God, we would ask that you would make that known as we stand and as we sing by coming to the front of the building.